Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chof Beis, and we're beginning by the Mishnah towards the top of the Yomid. Today's shiur is being learned, Lili Nishmas, George Brickner, Gershom ben Moshe, Yitzchak, Barnab Brickner's father, all the Nishamas we've learned for Shadav and Aliyah. And we begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Nochri Shehidlik Asaner, if a non-Jewish person lit a candle, he lit a lamp for himself. Now, there's a big difference between him lighting it for himself and lighting it for a Jewish person. There is a problem of Amir Liyakub. You're not allowed to tell a non-Jewish person to do any malacha that you're not allowed to do. You can't have the non-Jewish person do it for you. And even if you don't tell him, but he's doing it for you, that's also not allowed, as we will see. But here, we're talking about the Nochri lit the candle for himself. He lit the lamp for himself. Nochri's sitting in a lobby, and he turns on the light in the lobby. He sits down there, and he starts to read. So, Mishtamesh L'Or Yisro, a Yid is allowed to go and use that light as well, because the Nochri did not light it for him. The Nochri lit it for himself. However, the Mishmil Yisrael, Osir. If, however, he sees the Jew sitting there in the dark, and he's a nice guy, and he says, listen, I'll turn the light on, and he turns the light on for you, so then you're not allowed to get benefit from it. Osir, you can't in that situation get any benefit from it. Likewise, Mile Mayim Lahashkos Behemto, the non-Jewish person brought up water for his animal, for the non-Jewish person's animal to drink, and is left over afterwards. So Mashka Achav Yisrael, the Jewish person's allowed to take the extra water and go give it to his animal. That's allowed. However, if the non-Jewish person's a nice guy, the Mishul Yisrael, he did this for the Jewish person, he saw the Jewish person didn't have any water, and he brought up the water for the Jewish person, so then also, then you're not allowed to go get benefit from it, because again, we're talking here about there was an Issa in bringing up the water. Rashi says, for example, it was Mibor B'Rishus HaRabim. It was from a well in a public place. So he's in the Rishus HaYachid. He's carrying it from the public place, the Rishus HaRabim, into Rishus HaYachid. So you're not allowed to do that. So you're not allowed to have him do that for you. And you're not allowed to even get benefit from it if he does it for you. Likewise, the third example in the Mishnah, also Nochri Kevesh Le'Red Bo. Somehow you're on a boat on Shabbos, and you have to get off the boat. And there's no tchum problems, as the Mefarshim explained. There are no other problems, and you just need to create, to build a kevesh to get off the boat. But you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. But the guy is also on the boat. And the guy goes and makes a plank for him to go and leave the boat and get onto the shore. So Yorid Achriso, the Yid is also allowed to go on that plank, even though it was made on Shabbos. Since the guy made it for himself, the Yid is allowed to go get benefit from it. However, the guy's a nice guy, then Bishul Yisrael, if he made it for the Yid, also, then you're not allowed to get any benefit because he's not allowed to do something for you. You're not allowed to make the plank, so he's not allowed to make the plank for you. Maisa Shoyim, Maisa Baragam Leel, Zakenim, the Gedolim would often have to travel from place to place, whether fundraising or to give shiurim and to see what's going on in the community, whatever. Maisa Baragam Leel, Zakenim, Rabbi Gamliel, another Zakenim, we find many stories in Shas, Rabbi Gamliel was with Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarifon, and they were going Shoyubam Bisvina, they were once coming back on a boat, and it arrived in a way that there was no problem with the Tchum. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us that he had a telescope that he created so they knew when they were in the Tchum. In any event, but also Nochri Kevish Le'Ridbo, and this non-Jewish person made a ramp, a gangplank for him to get off the boat. And in this situation, what happened? V'yarud Dubal, Rabbi Gamliel Zakenim, and Rabbi Gamliel Zakenim, they also got off the boat using this plank. Gemara says, why do we need three stories? Isn't it all the same thing? If a guy does it for himself, you're allowed to get benefit from it. If he does it for you, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. All three stories seem to be the exact same thing. The first one with the light, second one with the water, third one with the gangplank. So Gemara says, Utsrich, you need all three. Be Diashmin and Air, if you only taught me the first case that the guy lit a lamp and I'm allowed to get benefit from the lamp if the guy did it for himself, so I would have said, you know why? Because we have a rule. Mishum, the Ner Le'echot, Ner Le'meya. He didn't do any extra work. When you turn on a light, the light goes all over the place. 100 people can get benefit from it, not just the one person who it's lit for. So I would have said, because of this principle of diner le'echad, what difference does it make if he lights a candle for one person or 100 people get benefit from it? There's no extra work involved, and therefore that's why I would only in that situation where he did zero extra work for me, he turned on the lamp. There's one action, and that's it. So therefore, 100 people get benefit from the lamp. That's why you're allowed to. However, I would the mayim, the case of the water, I might have thought the rabbis would say ligzar. We have to make a gzeir over here. The dilma osay lafushe b'shul Yisrael. He would only bring up 5 ounces for himself, but he sees there's another person there. He's a nice guy. He'll bring up 10 ounces, 20 ounces. So it's still one action. He's doing it for himself. So I might have thought we have to make a gzeir in that situation. That's why I needed to tell me the second case in the Mishnah. And the third case, v'kevish lomali. So that third case, that's again, that's the same idea. Ner liyechud, ner lemeya. What's the chiddush over there? Shmuel says no, because he wanted to tell us the ma'isa shoya, ma'isa d'rabbanu gamliel uzkenu k'mashulon. Since it's going to tell us this ma'isa, so it gave us this din, even though technically it wasn't as necessary to teach us this din because I could have learned it out from the first two. Gemara continues and says, "Braisa tana rabbanon nochri sheliket asobim." If a non-Jewish person got animal for his animals, he got grass for his animals, so he picked it on Shabbos. So machil achav Yisrael, any of the leftover grass that's there, the yid is allowed to go and feed to his own animal. However, if the non-Jewish person brought extra fodder over here for the Jew, v'im bishvil Yisrael, so then also you're not allowed to get benefit from it. Likewise, Mile Mayim Lahashkos Behem Toda Brisa tells us like our Mishnah, if the guy filled up a jug of water to go and give to his animals and there's extra water, so Mashka Achav Yisrael, the Yid is allowed to go and take that extra water and feed it to his animal. The guy doesn't mind, you can do it. However, if he saw that you're there and he's a nice guy and he fills it up for you, then Mishul Yisrael, if he specifically filled up water for the Yid, for his animals, for whatever the reason, so then Osir, then you wouldn't be allowed to get benefit from it. But now the Braisa tells us an additional statement. Under what details is this allowed? That's only if the guy doesn't know you. Shein makiro. The guy doesn't know you, so he's clearly not doing it for you. However, al makiro asur. But if in fact he knows you, then we have to presume that the guy is doing it for you. So now, Gemara says, is the first part of this statement over here really correct? Ini, are you allowed to go and use the leftover fodder, the grass that he picked for his animal, if there's leftover, you're allowed to use it? But we learned previously, person's allowed to let his animal go graze on Shabbos with grass that's attached to the ground. There's no problem. Even though you have Shvisas Behemto, you're allowed to have your animal eat. Tosos, all the way in the bottom, in the second of the bottom, Tosus, Mamid Odom Behemto Agav Asav B'Shabbos, tells us that we learned in the Mechilton, L'Leman Yenuach Shorchov HaMarechva. You have to let your animals relax on Shabbos. You have to let them be off from work. So I might have thought, Yochol, it might be, Lo Yanichenu Tolesh, Lo Yanichenu Oker, that they shouldn't be allowed to go and graze, they shouldn't be allowed to pick the grass from the ground, because you're not allowed to do that, so maybe they have to rest and do that as well. So Talmud Lomar, no, L'man Yenuach, they're supposed to relax, they're supposed to have a good time. Bein Zeh Noach El Tzar. If you don't let the animal graze, that's a tzar for the animal. So the animal can't do work for you, it can't plow for you, but the animal can go eat all the grass it wants. There's no problem that the animals ochre those plants or grasses from the ground. That's not a problem. So Rav Huna said in the name of Chanina that a person is allowed to put his animal and let it graze on grass that's attached to the ground. But it can't go with grass that was detached on Shabbos. In other words, that grass is muktzah. And here, the guy detached the grass on Shabbos. So why isn't this grass considered muktzah? How are you allowed to go and feed this grass to your animal? So the problem is, there's a muktzah issue over here, not the Amir Eliakim issue, but there's a muktzah issue. Someone says, no, you're right. You didn't actually go and give the animal the grass. The koyim lo biapo. You stand in front of the animal, so the animal can't go in your direction. So the animal, therefore, will have to veer to the side. And you're causing the animal to veer to where the grass has already been cut, and the animal can go and eat that cut grass, that's allowed. Ba'ozlohi, the animal's going on its own, v'yochla, so you're only indirectly causing it to eat the grass that's muktzah, that's allowed. There's no issue in getting hanah from the muktzah, you're just not allowed to handle the muktzah, you're not allowed to directly give the animal the muktzah grass, but to lead the animal there, to not directly lead it, but to push the animal in that direction, because you're standing in its way, so it's going to turn right, go to the grass, that's allowed. Now, we just said in the Braisa, Amamar, we requote this last part of the Braisa of Amed Mar Amur, under what circumstances we say that you're allowed to go and use the leftover grass or the leftover water when we said Shein Makiro, if the guy doesn't know you. Avo Makiro also, but if the guy knows you, you're not allowed to because we have to be concerned that he's doing it for you. So now we ask the question in the Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel was on the boat with these people, Mestama, they knew Rabban Gamliel, he was the head of the Jewish people, so chances are the guy knew him, so he says, I'm making this plank, I know Rabban Gamliel's here. He's going to use the plank. Ha makiro. Ha Rabban Gamliel makiro haba. So how were they allowed to use it? You just said you're not allowed to use the plank if they're makiro. So we have two terutzim over here. One from Abaya, one from Rava. Amar Abaya. Abaya says, you know why? Shalom b'fonav haba. Rabban Gamliel wasn't right there. So even though the guy knew about him, but the guy didn't intend at that moment to benefit Rabban Gamliel. He didn't see Rabban Gamliel around. Fully knew Rabban Gamliel already gotten off the boat. Fully knew Rabban Gamliel wasn't going to get off the boat. So therefore, if the person is not right there, even though he knows you, you're allowed to get benefit from the actions that the guy did. Because in that situation, we assume he wasn't doing it on your behalf, even though he knows you. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rav Amar, Rav tells us, Afilu Tema Bufanim. No, even if you want to say that Rav Gamliel was there, they were all waiting online to get off. The TSA agents were checking them, and they were all waiting online to get off the boat. So Afilu Tema Bufanim, he sees Rav Gamliel over there. Nevertheless, we apply the principle, Ner Liecha, Ner Lemea. This guy needs a plank to get off the boat. So he's making it for himself. And therefore, we apply the principle, Ner Liecha, Ner Lemea. No big deal if other people use it, because he's definitely using it for himself. And the plank could be stepped on by 100 people. There's no extra work involved. So that's the second terrace. So we have Abaye saying, Shelo Bufanav, and Rav is saying, Ner Echa, Ner Liecha, Ner Lemea. Gemara says, wait a second, Meisvei, Amalei Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel said, Hoel v'shalo b'faneinu aso neribo. But we said in the Braisa that he was, the reason he allowed to do this was because the guy wasn't there. They weren't at the same time. That's what the Braisa says. That sounds exactly like Abaya and Zakasha on Rava. Hoel v'shalo b'faneinu is exactly the teretz that Abaye gave. And Rabbi Gamliel seemed to say the only reason they allowed to use the plank was because the guy wasn't there. They weren't there at the time that the guy put the plank down. Someone says, yeah, that's not what it really said. Since the guy made it, even though he wasn't here with us, but he made it for himself. Therefore, that's the second teretz. That's Rabbi's teretz. Even Apilu Temu Bufanov, Ner Liecha, Ner Lemeya. So therefore, the guy did it for himself. Therefore, there's no extra tircha involved, no extra effort involved over here, and that's why it's allowed. Okay, now we'll get a question, alternately, either one or both of these two terutzim of Abaye and Rava. Where says, Toshma, bring you a raya against both of them from the following Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Machshirin, okay? And the Mishnah there says, Ir she Yisrael v'nochum dar misocha. You have a city that's a mixed city. It has both Jews and non-Jews living in the city. V'haisabo merchatz, and there's a bathhouse, hamarchetzis b'shabbos, that's being used on Shabbos. Now, obviously, the Jewish people aren't using it on Shabbos, hopefully, and the goyim who are using the, making the water, heating up the water, etc., they're doing it for the goyim, and that's allowed. So, when are you, Matze Shabbos, allowed to use this bathhouse? They heated it up on Shabbos. But in Rov Nachrim, if the majority of the people in the city are Nachrim, so the heating up that they did on Shabbos was mistama for the majority of the people in the town, which is the Nachrim, so then Mutu Lirchos Wamiyat. Then the minute Shabbos is ice, the minute Shabbos is over, you're allowed to go to the bathhouse. You don't have to wait Kidei Shiyasa. You don't have to wait the amount of time that would take them to heat up the water. It takes an hour to heat up the water. You don't have to wait an hour. You go a second after you make Abdullah. Perfectly good. Because when the non-Jewish people were heating up that water on Shabbos, they were doing it for the non-Jewish people, because only them are using it on Shabbos, and that's the majority of the city. And therefore, you can use it immediately after Shabbos. However, in Rov Yisrael, if it's the majority of the town is a Jewish city, so the majority of people living here are Jews, so then we're heating it up, they're saying, okay, if anybody that wants to use it on Shabbos, that's fine, then the goyim, you can use it on Shabbos, the 10 goyim that use it on Shabbos, but the 100 yidden, they're going to come here, Matzei Shabbos, so we're heating it up for them. So in this situation, they're heating it up for you, so you have to wait Kidei Shiyasa. Yamtin b'chdei sheyechamu chamin. You have to wait the amount of time that it would take them if they'd started as soon as Shabbos was over. When beheta, they're allowed to do it on your behalf, so then you have to wait an hour. So you have to wait an hour before you can use it. Now, this Mishnah from Achshirim presents a problem to both Abaye, who says Shelo Bufanav, because here they weren't Bufanav, so how come they have to wait Kidei Shiyasu? And it's a problem for Rava, who said Ner Liechad, Ner Lemeya, well, they're heating up the water anyway for the people on Shabbos. Once the water is heated, what difference does it make that the Jews use it? So this is a problem for both of the answers that Abaye and Rava gave. Gemara says, no. Hosom ki mechamime, when the goyim heated up the water on Shabbos, adaita deruba mechamime. Why were they doing it? They were doing it on your behalf. And therefore, this is considered something that was done specifically for a Jewish person, and the heter of Shelo Bufanav doesn't apply. And likewise, you can't say that Ner Liecha, Ner Lemeya, they're doing it for you. That's why it's not allowed. However, if there is a guy that's doing it for himself, even though there may be a yid that's going to get benefit from it, so then the guy in that situation is doing it for himself, and if the yid's not Lufanav, and it's Ner Liecha, Ner Lemeya, both Abaye and Rava have no problem. Try again. Toshma, the Braisa tells us, Ner Hadoluk b'Mesiba. If you have a lamp that was lit at some sort of a public gathering, the Mesiba means like a gathering of people, so it depends. Im Rov Nochrim, if it was lit on Shabbos and it's the majority of the people there on Nochrim, so Mutal Shtamish Lohra. So they had this gathering on Friday night, they light a lamp so people can see, so therefore you're allowed to go and get benefit from the lamp because they didn't light it for you. But Im Rov Yisrael also, but if the majority of the people there are Yisraelim, so then it's a problem. Now how come? this should be a situation of ner liyach and ner lemeya. What difference does it make? The majority of yidden, but the non-Jewish person is getting benefit from it. And even if it's mechtz al mechtz, the Braisa says also. So how come you're allowed to? You're not allowed to get benefit from it. Ner liyach and ner lemeya. Kasha over here on Rava. So Abaye has no problem because it'd be befana. They're all there. So therefore, that's why you're not allowed to get benefit from it. But according to Rava, ner liyach and ner lemeya, why doesn't that apply? Gemara says hosam nami there too in this situation. I turn to the Omid Beis. Ki madliki adaita deruba madliki. He's doing it on behalf of the Yidden. He's doing it specifically for you. You can't say in this situation, ner liyach or ner lemeya. Maisa shoya. Shmuel ikla. Shmuel went levei Ovin to the house of Ovin, who was in a city called Torin. Rashi says Torin is the name of a place. Markum. Okay. Also, ha'unachri adlik shraga. A guy came along and lit a lamp. And Shmuel didn't want to get any benefit from it because he thought he was lighting it for him. For Shmuel's benefit. So Hadrinu Shmuel Epe. He turned away, so he wouldn't get any benefit from the light. However, he then saw, even the Chazor, he saw the Aite Shtar. The guy brought along a Shtar, some sort of a document that he was reading, the Kokari, and he's reading from this document. So in other words, he clearly turned on the light for himself so he could read the document. So then Omar Shmuel said, Omar, Adaita the Nashehu the Adlik. It's clear that he obviously lit this light for himself, and therefore, Ner Liyach, Ner Lemeya. Ahadrinu Iul Epe, Gabi Shrogos. Then Shmuel turned back towards the light. Mustama used the light, whatever he did. He even walked by it without tripping, whatever it was. Shmuel allowed himself to get benefit from the lamp because ner liyach or ner lemeya, clearly this was a situation where the goy lit it for himself. He, Mustama, did not know Shmuel, so there was no problem of makir, and therefore this is permissible, and Shmuel allowed himself now to get hanah from this. Hadron alecha kol kisvei, hadron alecha kol kisvei, hadron alecha kol kisvei. Now we begin the 17th parak of Shabbos, the 24th parak in Shabbos. We're getting close to the end of Shabbos, and we begin Kol HaKelim. So this Mishnah is going to tell us additional dinim about Muktzah, some of which we had alluded to earlier in the Masechta already, but this is really one of the main places where we find some of these dinim about which Kelim you're allowed to move on Shabbos. So Gemara tells us, Kol HaKelim Tol Shabbos. In general, anything that has the shame of a kli, it's a utensil, so it's usable, so therefore it's allowed to be used on Shabbos. And even Vidal Sosein Imohen, and even if they have doors. So Rashi brings down, we're talking here about something like a Shida, Teva, Migdol. We had these in the last parak. These are chests or drawers of various sizes, and they have doors on them. So these doors, even if they come off, as we'll see, Afal Pishin and Sparku, even though they came off, so the Mishnah tells us they're not considered Muktzah, as opposed to, Rashi points out, the doors on houses. The doors on houses are considered Muktzah. They're different than these doors on the Shita Teva Migdal. Why? Lefi She'enon min ha-muchon. She'enon domin, I skipped that in the Mishnah, She'enon domin le'dalsos ha-bayis, they're not similar to the doors of the house. Lefi She'enon min ha-muchon. The doors of the house aren't expected to be taken off the doors. And therefore, if they come off the doors, so they're not really muchan, and therefore they are muktzah, and therefore you can't use them. But the doors on the shida table of Migdal, for example, the doors to this chest or these drawers, so they do come off, and therefore they're considered utensils, they're considered kalim, and therefore they're allowed to be used. Now the Gemara gives us a whole bunch of examples of kalim that have another purpose for them normally, but you could use them in a permissible way on Shabbos, even though these kalim are normally used for something that's not permissible. This is something that's known as muktzah machmas isser. So these are kalim that are normally used for forbidden things to do on Shabbos, so you're allowed to use them letzorch gufo umakomo. If you need either their functionality or you need the place where they are, so then you're allowed to move them. What are examples of this? So you have a notel odom kurnos. So a person takes a big hammer, lefatzea boas or gozim, and uses it to go and smash nuts, to open up walnuts or crack the nuts. So that you're allowed to go and do with this hammer, even though this hammer is normally using to bang in nails, which would be binyan, bone on Shabbos, which would not be allowed. But if you're using it to smash open nuts, you're allowed to eat on Shabbos, so therefore that's allowed. So even though this kli, this hammer, is normally muktzah machmas iser, it's normally something you can't pick up a hammer and just move it around if you don't need the place and you don't need its usage, so it's muktzah, but here you're using it for a permissible reason, it's allowed to be moved. That's called litzorach gufo, to use it for itself. Likewise, a person can take a kardom is an axe, lachtoch boaz dvela, to cut open these pressed figs, these kikori dvela that we have, so you need to go and chop off some of these pressed figs, so you're allowed to do this. That's permissible. The axe is normally used to chop trees. That's not permissible. So yeah, you're using it in for a permissible purpose. It's allowed. Likewise, you can take a plane, a megera. Megera is like some sort of a very sharp cutting implement, and you're allowed to go cut lagur boas agvina, to cut off. You have a big cake of cheese, and you're allowed to go and slice off a piece of cheese, even though you're using something that's normally used, let's say the megera is to cut wood. Your carpenter uses a megera, so here you're allowed to use it to cut the cheese. Likewise, you can take a magrefa. Normally it's a shovel. A shovel is used for digging. You're not allowed to go and dig on Shabbos. Nevertheless, you're allowed to take this magrefa, ligrov boas agrogros, to go and catch, shovel up the last grogros, the dried figs are at the bottom of a barrel, so you're allowed to go and shovel them up with this magrefa. That's a permissible usage of this normally iser utensil. Likewise, he says, you're allowed to go take harachas ves hamalgeis. Hamalgeis, it says on the side, is also, some have the word actually, mazleg means a fork. So malgeis and a mazleg, they're jumbles of each other, are the same thing. These are various types of pitchforks. Rashi explains that these are like, they have three forks on them. He even says the word malgeis or a mazleg is like a pitchfork, atar, shikorin fork. And it's made of steel, shabazel. Below, gimel shinaim, it has three teeth, like a typical pitchfork. Normally it's used for winnowing, and that would be, of course, also on Shabbos. But you can take these different types of pitchforks, this rachas and malgeis, or mazleg, and use it, loses olav lukotet. You can go feed a child with it. The child's across a river, the child's across the table, and you want to give him the food, so you can give it to him via this type of pitchfork. That's allowed, even though the pitchfork is normally used for an iser purposes, but here, using a tzorach gufo, you're allowed to do this. And finally, the mission concludes with a couple more things. You're allowed to take esakush, the esakarkar. These are various types of sharp implements that are used in the weaving process. Litchobo, to go and use them like his toothpicks, to go and stick them in fruits and eat the fruits. The fruits are soft, Rashi says, and you don't want them, I guess, to mess everything up. Kol pri rach, soft fruits, you want to use them to, they won't get squished in your hands. You put this like sharp implement, like a toothpick, into them to go and eat the item. That's allowed. Again, litzorach gufo. Likewise, you can take a machat shoyad, you can take a regular hand needle that people use to sew normally, which is, of course, also in Shabbos, but you're allowed to use it, lito bosa coats, to take a splinter out. You're in pain, you're allowed to take the splinter out, and therefore use it for permissible purpose, even though it's normally klisha malachta liyasir. And finally, the last thing the Mishnah tells us is sakoyim. These are the needles that they use to go, Rashi tells us, and make sacks. Machat gedola shetofrim bo sakim. So this is a larger needle than the hand needle that we just spoke about. What would that be used for? It's normally not allowed to be used on Shabbos, but you're allowed to use it. Liftoch bo sedelis. You can use it like to pick a lock. You can use this as the keys to a lock. So you're allowed to go and use this needle of the sakoyim for these purposes. Again, the overriding principle is that these are normally not allowed to be used in the normal way, because that's usur on Shabbos, but to use them in a permissible way, the tzorach gufo, or if you needed the place, the tzorach makomo, it is allowed. Morris starts off and tells us, Kol HaKelim Nitolim, he tells us all the types of utensils are allowed to be taken, and instead of Afapish and Isparku, Bishabbos. Now we have the words Bishabbos in parentheses in the Mishnah. Here in the Gemara, it says it directly on Shabbos. And certainly, if they came off on a weekday, you're allowed to go and do it. Now we'll see why the word Bishabbos in the Mishnah was in parentheses, because that's Adarab, but Gemara says it doesn't make any sense. If it was detached on Shabbos, and you don't have to tell me attached on a weekday, why not? Either have the exact opposite. If it was detached on Shabbos, v'Shabbos, so muchadim al-gebi avien, they were considered muchon, prepared, because at the Bein HaShemashos period of time, they were still attached, and therefore, they're not considered muktzah. And once it's not considered muktzah, Bein HaShemashos, so then it's not considered muktzah the rest of Shabbos, even though it became detached. But behold, if it was already detached on a weekday, so then it's detached, so ain't muchan magabi avir. You can't say it's a kli because the shida teva migdal is a kli, so therefore the door is detached and should also become a kli. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, kasha on the word afapish in this baruch hu b'shabbos, that doesn't make any sense. So now we understand why it was in parentheses. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, kochi kamar. This is how you have to understand the Mishnah. Kol hakelim nitolim b'shabbos. All utensils are allowed to be used on Shabbos. The dalso say ni mohen, and their doors are allowed to be used with them, even though afapish and isparku b'chol, even though they came off on a weekday, never, and certainly on Shabbos, nitolim b'Shabbos. That's why the word b'Shabbos is in parentheses there, because it's not talking about Shabbos. The chiddush over here is that Rashi tells us afapish. He says, "Lo arevusa the nisparku b'Shabbos." It's not going on the fact that it came off on Shabbos. The revusa, the chiddush over here is the nisparku Shabbos. The fact that they're detached, that's the Chiddush Koy. And they don't have to be attached in order to still be considered a Keli. So that's the Chiddush over here of our Mishnah. Gemara continues and says, Tanu Rabbanu bring a brisa, Deles, Shoshida, Vishal Teva, Vishal Migdol. The doors are these various types of drawers or chests or closets. So then all of these, Notlin, you're allowed to go and take them off on Shabbos. Avalom Akzirim, but you're not allowed to put them back on Shabbos. However, Vishalul, Shal Tanagol, if you have a chicken coop and it has a door on the chicken coop, that not only can't you put it back, but you're not even allowed to take it off. Lo Notlin, Lo Makzirin. Now, this is a problematic price because it seems to be contradictory. Gemara says, Bishlomo Shalul, Shal Tarnagolim, I understand regarding to the chicken coop, you must hold Ksavar, Kivan de Mechabre Be'ara. A chicken coop is attached to the ground. Shida Teva Migdal are movable items. They're large drawers and chests and things like that, but they're movable. But the chicken coop is attached to the ground. So something that's mechuba lekarka, kivan the mechabri bi'ara, it's attached to the ground. So we do hold that something that's attached to the ground, there's a concept of binyan and stira. There's an isser on Shabbos to build, an isser on Shabbos to take down. So therefore, since it's attached to the ground, the door and the chicken coop are attached to the ground, yesh binyan bekarka, yesh stira bekarka. So I understand why lo notlin, lo machzirin. Makes very good sense. There's binyan and stira issues. You can't put the door on. You can't take the door off. Very good. That part of the brisa, no problem. Ella shel shida v'shel teva shel migdol. I don't understand. Mimadav shach. Mike Saba, what is the tana of this brisa hold? Ik Saba yesh binyan mekelim. There is a whole machlokus. There's binyan and stira, certainly on karka, on things attached to the ground. But there's a big machlokus throughout Shas, whether yesh binyan or stira mekelim. So does this din of binyan and stira, of building and taking apart, does it apply to Kalim or not? So, what does the Tana of this Brisa hold? Iksav, if he holds Yesh Binyan B'Kalim, so then he holds Yesh Stir B'Kalim. So again, why would you be allowed to take off the door but not put it back? Either they both can be taken off and put back, or it can't be taken off and can't be put back. So that's exactly the question. If he ain't Stir B'Kalim, if you hold it, there is no problem with Stir B'Kalim, so then, and Stir B'Kalim, and Binyan B'Kalim. So again, they both should be the same thing, just like by the Lul Shal Tarnagolim, both were the same thing, and there it was clear because that's karka, so there's ein binyan stira in that situation. But by the ratio, which is taught about by Kalim, so either ein binyan and ein stira, and therefore you can't take it off and you can't put it back, or no, there is no problem with binyan and stira by Kalim, and therefore no klin umach zirin. That's the question. So I'm Abaye tells us, lo olam k'sover yesh binyan mekelim yesh stira mekelim. No, he really holds the Tanava Mishnah that you're not allowed to go and build, but you read it wrong. Even though there's binyan and stira Kalim, when we said, it wasn't correct to say, Notlin, you're allowed to take it off. Vishenit lukamar, it meant it was taken off, you're not allowed to go put it back. So that's the terrace that Abaye gives. But Rava doesn't like this. Only Rava tells him, no, state shuvas vadava. There are two reasons why you're wrong. Number one, choda, that's not what it said. The Notlin katani. The Brisa said that you're allowed to take it off. It doesn't say it came off on its own. That's the first problem. And even if you want to say that's what it said, v'od, my aval lo machzirin. Why would it say, but you can't go and turn it back? You should have said that if it was off, you can't put it back. What does it mean, avo lo machzirin? That avo implies that you're allowed to take it off. So, therefore, Rava says, I don't like Abaye's teretz. And Elo, Omar Rava, Rava gives his own teretz. And he says, Kisavar ain binyan b'kelim, vein sir b'kelim. The town of our Mishnah doesn't hold for binyan and sir b'kelim. Why aren't you allowed to put it back then? If there's no binyan and sir b'kelim, so you can take it off, that's the steer part, but why not the binyan part of a lo machzirin? Why can't you put it back? If he holds ain binyan steer with Kalim, so why can't he put it back? So Rava tells us, ugzeiro shema yiska. This is a gzeiro over here. We're concerned that if we allow him to put it back, he's going to really put it back in a definitive manner, in a very strong way. And therefore, as Rashi says, b'chazaka, he's going to put it back with strength over here, and Bavale Gemar Melocha, this would be a Gemar Melocha, the Chayiv Mishumaki Rapatish. So this would be fixing and finishing the Keli. That's not allowed. But if it wasn't a concern about that, then you would be allowed to take it off and put it back because Ein Binyan and Stira V'Keli. Now we quote the Mishnah with all the various utensils that we said are normally Klishim Lachta L'Isser, but here it's allowed to be used because of you need its Gufo or Makoma. So, note to Lordum Karnus Chuli, we said you can take the hammer and smash open the walnuts. So, Amr Yehuda, Karnus Shalagozim, Lefatzeya Bo. You're allowed to, Esoagozim. You're allowed to go take the hammer and use it to smash open the Agozim. However, Avol Shalnafachim Lo. But you're not allowed to take a blacksmith's hammer. This hammer that you're allowed to use is a regular carpenter's hammer, but you can't take the blacksmith's hammer. How come? So if Savar Dovah Shemalach to Leisr must be the review of the holds. So Dovah Shemalach to Leisr Afilu Tzarach Gufo Zosr is not allowed to be used even Tzarach Gufo. But obviously that doesn't make any sense. Then why would you allow to use a regular hammer? Why is the blacksmith's hammer different than the regular hammer? Both of them are used Shemalach to Leisr. So that's what Rabbah is now going to tell Rabbi Yehuda. Only Rabbah says to him, El Miata, I don't understand. Say for the Tani, it says, there's a rachas, there's a malgeis, law says a level of cotton. We said at the end that you're allowed to use these pitchforks and go feed a cotton with these pitchforks to hand them the food. So are you telling me the rachas or malgeis, mi miyachde le cotton? Was that designated for the cotton? Is that, you're telling me the hammer that's designated for smashing open the nuts is allowed, but the other hammer you're not allowed, so that doesn't make any sense. Are you telling me there's pitchforks that are designated to feed in this way? It's a very unusual way to go and feed. Doesn't make any sense. So Rabbah therefore gives a different heresy. Alama Rabbah, Karnush shall nafochim, when we said you're allowed to use the hammer, the regular hammer, the carpenter, to go lefatzea boha gozim, to go and smash open the nuts, obviously, kusavar he holds, dovo shemalachto leisr letzorach gufum mutter. He says they're allowed to go and use this for something that is permissible. So even though it's normally used for something that's not permissible, as I said, this is a klisha malach to lisser, but you're allowed to use it litzorach gufo. If you're using it for its own usage, you're using it to smash with this hammer, then it's allowed. And the case with the blacksmith, so we'll see later on that is going to be something that is not normally used. It's a very specialized implement. He doesn't want it to get chipped or something in that way, because if it's chipped, he's going to go chip whatever he's smithing, and therefore that's why the blacksmith hammer is different. That's something that we call muktzah machmas chisaron kis. And that's a different situation. Even letzorach gufo makom, you're not allowed to use something that's so specialized, you don't want anybody to use it, so therefore, you're not allowed to use the blacksmith's hammer. Gemara says, Esri, Abai L'Rava. Abai says, wait a second, medocha, this is a mortar in which you normally chop up different things. So if you're going to use this, it says you're only allowed to go and carry this mortar if there is shum, garlic inside of it. But if there's no garlic inside of it, it's muktzah. But how come you could use it for chopping up other things that are allowed? So why is it muktzah? So Amalei, Hamani, he says, you know what this is? Hamani, this is the opinion of Nechemi. Nechemi says that there's a additional stringency. Domar ain't kli nital ela letzorach tashmisho. Even though you have another function for it, you're only allowed to use the kli if you're allowed to use the kli for that tashmish hameyuchad lo, Rashi says. It's normal usage. So if this normal usage is to chop up garlic, so if there's garlic in it, you can move it. But otherwise, you can't use this for something else. That's the opinion of Rav Nechemya. We don't paskin like that. We say you could chop up something else in it. You could use it to cover up an item. So it's allowed to be used as long as you're using letzorach gufo, but Rav Nechemya says not only letzorach gufo, it has to be letzorach its specific gufo. The Amar ain kli nital el letzorach tashmisha, must be its specific usage. Mori asks again, Eisvei. Now, we could read the parentheses or not, it's not wrong, but we'll read the parentheses. Beishami yomrim ein lokleness ha'eli. You're not allowed to go take this pestle, that's like the chopping implement, lekatzi velo bosa, to go and chop meat on it. So it's like a cutting board, and Beishami says, you're not allowed to use this cutting board, which is not normally used for meat, and go and chop meat on it. Beishel matir, Beishel says you're allowed to. Even though it's not normally used for this fashion, it's normally used for grinding stuff on it. It's not a typical cutting board. But since you're using it for Simchas Yontif, Rashi says, so Beishel says you're allowed to. Beishel matir. Beishavim, but both Beishel and Beishami say that once you used it, Shem kitzev alav basur, once you did chop some basur on it, then shasur letoklo, you're not allowed to go move it anymore after that. So the Gemara says, Rabbah wanted to say, we can say this is according to Rav Nechemya. So that's why you're not allowed to go and move it anymore. However, when he heard the following statement that was said over by Rav Chinin of Bar Shelmiya in the name of Rab, when you're dealing over here with very specialized implements, Rashi has two different possible explanations for what he saw. First of all, he says, they're kli tzavoyin hein. There are various utensils that the dyers used. And then he brings up from the Rebbeinu Halevi, he says that they're kli organ. They're various types of implements or tools that were used in the weaving process. So in all of these things, the kivan, the kapit alayu, these are very specialized implements. And these utensils, the person's going to be upset if they get broken or used and ruined in some sort of a way by being used for something that's not their regular purpose. And therefore, this is what I mentioned before, this is muktzah machmas chisorin kis. These are very expensive items that you would ruin if you use them for some other purpose. So the kivin de kopet alayo, since the owner is not happy, he wants them only to be used for the purposes they normally are used for. Miyachid luhu mokum. So these are designated in a special place, and they're muktza. They're only for this specialized purpose, which is asur and Shabbos. Once Rabbah heard this, he said, honey nami, this is the same thing with the Eli over here. You put it aside. They only normally would be allowed to use it for this specialized person, which is also in Shabbos. So the reason why they still allowed it for the meat, for Simchas Yontif, that was a specialized, special situation. But in general, since this is Muktzah, Machmas, Risor, and Kis, it wouldn't be allowed to be used for any other purpose, not even Tzorach Gufo Umakomo. With this, we conclude today's shir. Again, we learned Lilo Nishmas. George Brickner, Gershom and Moshe Yitzchak, Barnett Brickner's father, all the Shas Shalom Shabbat Aliyah, and everybody should have a great Shabbos.